Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost comes from our gospel reading of Matthew. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" Thus far the text. So last week, Jesus started teaching us in parables. He hadn't done this quite yet, and so it comes off a little bit weird to the crowd and to his disciples. It's not that it's strange to hear examples or analogies. That type of teaching had been already done for ages. Parents and teachers, we do this all the time as well. The metaphor, the simile, the analogy, the story helps to clarify the point that we're trying to get across. So yeah, go ahead, Jesus, teach us in your parables. The only problem is, with Jesus and his parables, that they don't make any sort of practical sense. There's always something within them that leaves us scratching our heads and wanting a point of clarification. That's why I wish last week, the gospel reading, it would have included verses 10 through 15, because it's there that Jesus actually shares with us the reason why, the purpose of his parables. If you get a chance, go home and read just that section. It'll tell you what Jesus is all about, because his parables are a mystery. He tells them in order to keep certain things hidden from human logic and reason. He tells them so that at the end of the day, we can't turn them into happy moral platitudes, although we try our very best to do so, or use them to bludgeon our enemies over the head with, although we seem to do this more often than we try and turn them into moral platitudes. So Jesus tells parables, and he tells parables to his disciples so that they can know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The only problem is the disciples in and of themselves are never able to grasp the secrets. Last week we had a sower who indiscriminately just throws seed all over the place, lets it fall wherever it may. No crop rotation, no increased irrigation, no integrated pest management there. Just throw caution to the wind. Let the crops rise up wherever they fall. Next week, we're going to have some guy sell everything that he has just to buy a pearl. And this week, we've got another sower. And he lets weeds grow up in his field. And these aren't even accidental weeds, but weeds that have been sown there by his enemy. And the man knows it. He knows that the enemy did this, and he doesn't even seem to care. "Just wait until harvest," he says. "It'll be sorted out then." Now, I'm no farmer, but that seems strange. And not just strange, but counterproductive. So it's no wonder that the disciples ask Jesus to explain this parable to them once they're all alone. So let's dig in, shall we? Let's dig into this parable just a little bit, because without Jesus' explanation, it does seem strange enough, but even with Jesus' explanation, it's kind of difficult to be okay with. A man, he goes, and he sows his field with good grain, and his enemy sows weeds right on top. And the weeds, they're no ordinary weeds. They're not easily identifiable from the wheat. The Greek would lead us to believe that there's a certain type of weed that these are, a darnel, a weed that early on almost identically looks like wheat. It's not until the time in which the plants produce their grain that they can be told apart. The grain, the fruit, it looks different between the two then. But now it's too late to rip up these weeds, because in so doing, you'll rip up the wheat too. Now this man's servants, they're an ambitious bunch, surely wanting to please their master. Didn't he sow good seed? Where did these weeds come from? An enemy sowed them, you say. How deviously destructive. Let us go out and rid your field of the weeds, Lord. We'll make sure that your field looks like it's supposed to. We'll make sure that there's no weeds amongst your good wheat. They don't seem to understand or know why their master allowed such a thing to take place, especially because it seems as if he knew that this enemy had done this thing. So they're ready and they're willing to put things right, to make good what their master seemingly allowed to go bad. They want to fix the situation. What's so wrong about that? Now, I would venture to say nothing, but the master, he has a different story. He tells them to just leave well enough alone. This is how it is right now, he seems to say. The field is now full of wheat and weeds. It's a field of good things, and it's a field of evil things. There's nothing to do about that right now. And he doesn't seem to be all that concerned with the weeds, does he? Or even the enemy, for that matter. And this seems to be odd, to say the least. Surely it would be better if there were no weeds. The wheat could grow better, it could produce more fruit and more grain, and the weeds wouldn't have a chance to spread their seed amongst the wheat, cause the wheat any harm. Wouldn't that field be the ideal field? And here's where we want to go and extrapolate this into our world, because goodness, just look at us right now and look at the world that we live in. Look at all the evil that's all around us, constantly around us. And wouldn't it just be better if God did away with all of that evil? Wouldn't it be better if he just gave us the power to make everything right, to rip out all of those weeds that threaten to choke out the wheat? Because I'm pretty confident that I could make a better life for myself and for my neighbors if I just had the power to do so, just had an endless supply of wishes to make things right. And besides, aren't we called to root out evil, to shine a light on sin and call it for what it is? Tell me, honestly, wouldn't we all just jump at that chance? Don't we all just jump at that chance? But the man, he tells his servants to stay in their lane. You're my servants, he says, and it isn't given to you to do the reaping or the harvesting. I have others for that, the reapers. They will come, they will do their job, and don't you worry your pretty little head about it. The weeds will be separated from the wheat. They will be burned up, and the wheat will be set aside into my storehouses. The enemy hasn't done anything to my wheat. He thinks he has. In fact, he's actually certainly counting on servants just like you to go around and rip up all of the weeds, because he knows that in the end, you'll rip up some of the grain, some of the wheat with it. And that's what he wants. But I'm not going to let him get what he wants. You servants, just be my servants and let the reaping alone. I have this all under control. That sounds straightforward enough. Almost as if our master has already thought everything through. But has he? I mean, really, has he? I'm not so sure. Because this is the problem that I have with the parable. And not just the parable, but Jesus' explanation with the parable. Because I don't want to simply be a servant who sits idly by and watches weeds grow up next to wheat. I want to be a reaper. And I want to make things right, everything right. I want to be able to have the final say and rip out all of the evil, bind it all up into bundles, and have a giant bonfire in my backyard with the flames rising up to the heavens. In my righteous indignation, I want to be able to do the final judging, to set myself in the place of God and separate the wheat from the chaff. But that's not given to me to do. So does that mean we just allow sin to be? Well, sort of, but not really. We're given to call sin out, most importantly, in our own lives. That's that whole log and speck thing that Jesus talks about elsewhere. But even the speck should, in its proper place, be called out. We must stand and we must speak for the things of life and marriage and mothers and fathers. We must speak out against racism and sexism and all the other isms out there that are contrary to God's word. And we must protect the weak and the oppressed and stand against movements and governments when they're evil. And yes, this may actually lead to persecution and loss of freedom and liberty and maybe even our life. All of that is given to the Christian to do. And not just the Christian, but the citizen, the person, the human that is all of us. But forget about the reaping business. You aren't the reaper. And most certainly, forget about all the fire and furnace and burning stuff. Forget about the punishment and the final judgment. That isn't given to you or to me. And if we think that it is, if we go about our daily lives looking for vengeance to make good and right everything that's gone wrong, our Lord says that we're actually going to end up with an even greater problem. We'll be ripping out the wheat too. And I know that we'll have the very best intentions, but when a 2-year-old wants to bake a cake, the only thing that can be assured is that there will certainly be a gigantic mess in the kitchen, and at the end of it all, there most certainly will not be a cake. Remember, parables are about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And the mysteries of the kingdom of God are about the gospel. And the gospel is about Christ. So parables are about Jesus, who he is, and what he has done, and what he will do for you. Okay, so we're not the reapers. Can we at least be the servants in this parable? Maybe. But probably not. Wouldn't it be better if we were just the wheat? Just be the wheat. Just be that passive thing in this parable that is assured to be bundled up and safely gathered into the storehouses of the Master. Isn't that better? Isn't that more comforting for us? In this parable, the evil one doesn't have a say as to who is wheat. And the weeds don't have a say if the wheat produces grain or is harvested. The good seed sown by the owner of the field will still grow up wheat. It will receive all that it needs to support this body and life and receive all that it needs to produce grain. At the right time, at the good time, at the godly appointed time, it will be harvested by the reapers and separated from the weeds. No harm will come from it. Its future is guaranteed because it's wheat. It's always been wheat. It's always been the Lord's wheat. And I know we live in a worldly field that's full of weeds. They're around us. They're sown over top of us. And sometimes it's difficult to distinguish between good and evil, right and wrong, between weeds and wheat. But the Son of Man, Jesus, your sower, has sown you in his field. You are children of the kingdom, and you didn't even have to go out and root out any weeds to earn that title. You didn't have to go hunting for the sons of the evil one or the devil himself and wage war against them. You don't have to make sure that everything is how it should be, that this field that we're living in is ridden of weeds. And you certainly don't have to build a giant fire and exact punishment upon evil in the name of Jesus. You get to be righteous wheat. And righteous wheat gets to shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Don't worry. The weeds will be taken care of. And more importantly, the evil one will. The harvest will come. Harvests always come. Take comfort in that. And in the meantime, do what wheat does. Receive from the sower his loving care, his forgiveness of sins, his death and resurrection, his perfect righteousness, which will cause in you to grow grain that will be harvested at the good and right and godly appointed time. Forget about the reaping. Just be wheat. It's good to be wheat. In the name of Jesus.